Maybe it's a classic or maybe a flop. Has Katie seen it? She probably has not. She'll sit down and watch it if it's good or it's bad.
Hey, have you seen this?
No, Katie hasn't seen that.
Hi, I'm Katie, and if I had a nickel for every time someone said to me, "Wait, you haven't seen this movie? Oh my God, you need to see this movie," I'd be very rich. So this is my podcast, where I finally watch those movies you all have told me I need to see, and I tell you what I think. Welcome back to another episode of Katie Hasn't Seen That, episode 3 of season 3, and I thought I'd make it a special one. But as we dive in, of course, remember, sometimes you feel like a spoiler, and sometimes you don't. Keep that in mind as we're discussing a new movie today, and that movie is Predator from 1987. As I was looking up this movie, I didn't realize how many Predator movies are in this franchise, and this felt appropriate, honestly. I was in an alien tabletop show. Please go watch it. It is over on the Wandering Inns channel on YouTube. It is called the Duachrona Outlook. It's an amazing show. If you're a fan of the Alien franchise, go watch it. I do a lot of tabletop in addition to streaming on Twitch and working and doing my podcasts and all the things in between. And this is a really cool project that I've had an opportunity to work on. It's highly produced. It's a really great show with two different casts, two different GMs. Go check that out. That's over again on the Wandering Inn on YouTube. Watch it. Tell me what you think. But what I was trying to get at is I love the Alien franchise. And so I was introduced to Predator during the Alien versus Predator hybrid movies. Those little bit of like AVP situations, which I've seen both of. I really like those films. And I feel like they left me on a cliffhanger in that last one, and they really need to make another Alien versus Predator. What you do in Hollywood, give it to me. I don't ask for much, except movies that are an hour and 30 minutes that have really beautiful plots and no issues with continuity or plot holes. I don't know why you all think I ask for so much, but seriously, I would love another Alien versus Predator. I've seen most of the Alien franchise. I saw Prey, the new Predator movie that came out on Hulu, and everybody, it's like a fan favorite for so many. I thought it was okay. I didn't love Prey. I watched it. I enjoyed the way they took that storyline with the characters, and I thought that was really cool, but I didn't like love the film overall. And it came up recently that I had not seen the original Predator movie, which seems like a sin to horror fans. Seems a little bit like a sin to me. I feel like I should have seen this movie by now. So what better time than, and Katie hasn't seen that season 3, to finally watch the original Predator movie, which is listed as an action sci-fi, which is right up my alley. The movie's from 1987. It is rated R and it comes in an hour 47. So 1 hour, 47 minutes. I got to buckle up for this ride. I'm hoping it's action packed. I already know that our good buddy Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was the governor of California at one point. Do we want to talk about how the actor from Predator became the governor of California at one point? We could talk about it, but we're not going to. I'm just going to bring that up and move along. There's also Carl Weathers in this. I don't know a lot of the other actors, to be quite honest. I don't see a ton of other familiar faces. I'm excited, though, to watch this. I won't lie. I feel like The Predator's been on my list forever. I don't know how I haven't gotten to watching it yet, especially with how much I've enjoyed the Alien versus Predator franchise. That's its own little franchise now that they need more of. I also feel like I'm missing certain Alien movies that I need to see, like Prometheus or Aliens 3. People tell me to avoid Alien Resurrection at all costs. I think I'm going to watch it at some point. You know, one of my favorite actors, Ron Perlman, is in it, and I just feel like I got to see it. Also, it's part of the Alien franchise. How bad could it be? But Predator seems to be a big one for me to finally knock off the list. I don't really fully know what Predator's about. I know what the Predator is. Predator is from an alien planet and comes down and likes hunting. It likes hunting. And it prefers the sport of hunting. It is a predator, an apex predator of sorts. So I'm trying to figure out what this movie's about. Since some of these movies feel fairly big and very popular, it's hard to avoid some spoilers for this. I know Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it. Is this the movie where he says, "Get to the chopper"? Why is he British when I do it?
Get to the chopper. I can't do an Arnold. I mean, I never said I could, but man, that was bad. Is this the movie that he says that in? I actually do not know for sure. I think that they're in the jungle. I feel like it's got jungle vibes from the pictures I've seen over the years. There's army-esque things going on, military-seeming things, but almost like Rambo in a way. Also, I've never seen Rambo. Do I need to see Rambo? So that's another thing I should maybe add to the list. I'm not entirely sure why they're in the forest. It's from 1987. Part of me feels like, is it the Vietnam War? Is it Nam? Is it the Korean War? Something like that. Like a war from that time frame? Or is it a made-up war? Or is it just like, I don't know why else there'd be dudes in the jungle. Like, I guess never say never. It could be a bachelor party. Maybe someone's getting married and they're like, you know, I love camping in the jungle. It's my last time. My wife won't let me do this anymore. And they're like, all right, let's head on out and set up camp. And then the predator comes out and they just happen to have a lot of guns. It seems like if you're going in the jungle for a bachelor party, that maybe you should just bring some protection. I have to feel like it's got some sort of military-esque nature to it to warrant what I'm assuming will be a lot of action movie tropes because Arnold's in this, you know? I do not know why they're there. I feel like with aliens or movies that have like creatures in it, you don't need much explanation for why they're there. They landed and I think Predator's hunting, and I think it's probably just about surviving. But I'm very interested in the tangential reasons as to why this story is unfolding. So I do feel like there is going to be monster vision, because in over time, I used to watch a lot of movie trivia type TV shows, documentaries, that kind of thing. And Predators come up a few times. I believe there is like monster vision. I'm going to say right now, I'm not a big fan of monster vision. Monster vision takes me out of it. So I'm very curious to see how they do monster vision, especially in 1987, which maybe I will like more. Because monster vision back in the day might look a little bit better than everything. Like nowadays, they just put like fisheye on stuff. And they're like, the monster can see with fisheye lens. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little harsh about that. So I guess that's what I think this movie is about. I don't know that I've ever really seen a proper Arnold movie. I don't know that I really have. I'm actually going to have to sit down and think about if this is the first real action Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I've seen. No, I lied to you. I've seen Terminator, but I'm going to quickly go through his roster and see if I have seen any other hard action movies from him. I've seen Twins. I've seen Kindergarten Cop. I feel like those don't count. I don't think I've seen any movies. I've seen Jingle All the Way. I've seen Junior. I have seen a lot of Arnold movies. I don't believe I've seen any other action movie that Arnold has been in besides Terminator, which seems a bit odd now that I think about it. So this will be like my second ever Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie, which I don't know. I grew up in a time frame where like when he was doing kids movies, kind of like Kindergarten Cop and big boom movies like Terminator and Predator. I guess I'm going to see what this action hero is finally like in practice. So bring on this second action movie for me. So I guess I'm going to finally see what the hype is all about of Arnold being in an action movie. I thought he was good in Terminator. Go back and listen to that episode if you haven't heard it yet. Let's see how much this movie was budgeted and what it made at the box office. An estimated $15 million was spent on Predator. And gross U.S. and Canada was $59,735,548. So that's pretty impressive. Gross worldwide was $98,268,458. So this movie was pretty popular enough for it to turn into a franchise and then have crossovers like with Alien. Can we talk about, though, Alien and Predator as a crossover is kind of amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. Those work together. Don't seem like they'd work together. Alien versus Predator as a crossover movie is one of the most successful crossovers I can think of. For me personally, other people might be like, this is trash. I hate it. I really enjoy it. So again, Hollywood, give me more. Please tell me I'm not the only one that has these feelings on it. Is this a spoiler? Skip ahead like a minute if you want to not know what I'm about to say. But in the last Alien versus Predator movie, essentially The alien, the xenomorph, put a little chest baby in a predator. And then they ended the movie with the chest baby predator baby coming out of the chest. And then we've never gotten another movie. I want to know what that hybrid alien predator baby is. I need a movie about it now. Do mom and dad get together? Xenomorph and predator join forces, become the co-parents they need to be to bring Xenoredditor. I just came up with that. That's got to be the name for the chest baby. Xenoredditor. It really flows off the tongue. I think it's going to take off. I really want that movie. And I really hope to see that before I die. So let's find out what the ratings are for Predator. Let me not get too ahead of myself. Let's start back at the origin story. The first ever Predator movie. I opened up Arnold Schwarzenegger's biography. I didn't mean to do that. Let's see. Internet Movie Database is giving Predator a 7.8 out of 10. That's not bad. Internet Movie Database can be some of the harshest critics, I feel like. But at the same time, we don't match. Like, I feel like sometimes I look at IMDb and I'm like, yeah, we don't see eye to eye on movies. So it's got a 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb. On our good friend Rotten Tomatoes, it has an 80%. That's pretty high for Rotten Tomatoes. So far, I've had some pretty highly rated movies this season. 80% on Rotten Tomatoes is pretty good. And I pulled open Metacritic. This is the lowest score. According to Metacritic, it has a 47, which is not great, but it's the lowest one I see of all these ratings. So that's coming in with a 47 on Metacritic. And last but not least, our sweet, sweet baby Google users, 90% of Google users like this movie. I guess, I don't know. I'm feeling hopeful. I don't want to jinx it. So far, I feel like season 3 has been the most hopeful season of Katie hasn't seen that. The most precious season of Katie not completely tearing things apart. So let's see. Well, this is the season you all turn on me. You're like, you're not hating shit? You're not hating everything? Shut it down. So I'm going to watch Predator. I'm going to get my own alien vision on, meaning that's just me sitting on the couch watching television. I don't know. It was a joke. It didn't really flow. It didn't work, but I'm going to leave it in here. I'm going to go watch Predator, and I'm going to let you all know what I think. Okay, I'm back. I watched The Predator. I guess it's not The Predator. It's just Predator. I watched Predator from 1987. And before I dive in, let me do some movie info. Let me just read you what the plot was about so we get our legs, get our predator legs firmly in the ground before I dive in. So, The Predator is about Dutch, a soldier of fortune, is hired by the U.S. government to secretly rescue a group of politicians trapped in Guatemala. But when Dutch and his team, which includes weapon experts Blaine and CIA agent George, land in Central America, something is gravely wrong. After finding a string of dead bodies, the crew discovers they are being hunted by a brutal creature with superhuman strength and the ability to disappear into its surroundings. Okay, Predator. I gotta say, I didn't realize Predator was as big of a movie as it is. I recognize now that this franchise is kind of huge. I don't know why. I was like, yeah, Predator. Predator's like kind of like a deep cut. It's not a deep cut. There's so much in this movie that people call back to and have in other films that The Predator is pretty solidly standing its own ground since 1987. I gotta say, there's a lot to unpack in this film. So let's just dive in. First, we start with the great big night sky. We see a spaceship fly in and something drops out. And that's how I like how they did that. It's like a little, huh? There's something different happening. That's not just the men like rolling up in their tanks, like, okay, we're going into the woods. You get like a little taste at the beginning. They're like, just be prepared. There's going to be some space stuff in here. And so you kind of have that intro that doesn't linger too long, but gives you a taste of like something big and alien, for lack of a better word, is coming into this environment. And you don't get to know right now. I just enjoy the little taste they gave us. I thought the ship in the sky looked great for the year that it was made. Look just as good as some CGI I've seen nowadays. Also, when Arnold shows up, we like get to the beach. The helicopters are coming in. Here come the big boys. The big boys with the big arms and the big attitudes are rolling up. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is obviously a part of that group. And I was like, he looks so young. And of course, I did the thing where I get on my phone. I'm like, what year was this made? What year was Arnold born? And he was 40 when this came out. It's just such an interesting thing to look back at actors having these pieces of film and these bits of work that is almost just like a time capsule of who they are and what they looked like at that time. It kind of breaks my brain a little bit if I think about it too hard. But Arnold was 40 in this. He did. You know how like we have the John Cena's and the Rock's nowadays? Arnold's still a big dude, very ripped, but he looked smaller than I remember. Not to say that Arnold is not a big guy, but I just was not. I was envisioning him being like a size of the Rock or John Cena. And I was just like, are action heroes getting bigger? Or is just my proportions off for some reason? This movie is quintessential 80s manliness. If there was a movie that they're like, give me manliness, give me 80s, I think Predator is right up here. Like when Blaine and Dutch see each other for the first time and they do a handshake arm wrestle, I don't think you can get any more 80s manliness than that scene itself. I thought it was interesting how we got introduced to the characters. I thought they did it pretty seamlessly. Like you were like, oh, you're a rescue team. You're not assassins. And I don't know. The writing was much better in this than I expected it to be. I've seen Alien versus Predator. I've seen some of these films that are in these franchises. And I just didn't expect Predator to have more depth than men in jungle fight with Predator. But they have like an actual story to this film. And that was just me underestimating Predator, I think, from the get-go. But it's literally the quintessential best of the best men 80s movie vibe. Where we cut to the chopper. We're getting the chopper because they're like, you need to do this rescue mission, save these politicians. Dutch is like, all right, let's do this. They all get in the chopper and they go. And this is the point where we get some toxic masculinity just coming in. That chopper was full of toxic masculinity. I think Jesse Ventura's character dropped the F slur. That's not great. I don't love that. I know that that is a product of the time. I know it's that military attitude, mindset, maybe. I just gotta say, I'm happy we evolve as a society and that we can point to these moments and go, that's not okay to do anymore. That was a bit jarring. And sometimes I'm like, we don't need to talk in that way and make a point come across or reinforce that that is the thing to say in these situations. But that was one of the few things in this film that kind of stood out to me as being like, didn't like that. One of those moments where you like feel it. I'm just glad as a society we can move forward in those things. But that chapter was just full of toxic masculinity, which I think was maybe the point. Be like, these are the hardest dudes you'll ever meet. Nothing can shake them. They mean business. The confidence alone filling the space of that aircraft. If I had an ounce of that, I think I would do a little bit better in life, but not the toxic masculinity portion. But they get into the jungle. They're just like ready to go. They've got guns out, actual guns, and then also their arms. And then they're going through the jungle methodically to do this mission. They find this shot down ship and investigate it. And it's just essentially them kind of going into the jungle, piecing together some things. And there's a moment where I don't remember which character did it, but they cut a vine and they just start suckling on the vine. And I just remember feeling, oh my God, that was more erotic than I felt like it needed to be. But that's like the first time we hear the Predator sounds. I just thought it juxtapositioned with this. He cuts the vine. He just suckles nicely on the vine. And then you just hear the clicking of the Predator in the background before we come across some skinned bodies. At first, they're all like, oh my God, the men of the men seem a little bit rattled by the fact that their comrades or people were done dirty this way. There was a moment in this during that scene where they find the dead skin bodies and there's a vulture in there and the vulture got kicked. I got on my phone immediately and I was like, were animals harmed in the making of Predator? And I started going down the rabbit hole of when did animals stop being hurt in films? And they were saying that the vulture was not harmed in the making of this movie, but it was enough of a kick that made me go, wait a second, is that vulture okay? So yeah, that kind of was jarring to me. It just felt a little bit like, okay, you could have pushed it. Just the kick was a lot. And I did find there's a scorpion in the film later on that gets kind of skewered with a knife and then stepped on. And I was like, wait a second. I mean, I don't know where bugs fall in the scheme of no animals were harmed. Like, I don't know if does anybody know if bugs kind of fall into that category of no animals were harmed, or are bugs on like a different scale? Are they not viewed as, I don't know, as important as something with fur? I'm just curious. Or feathers. Apparently 1972 was the year they stopped hurting animals in movies, which I gotta say is up in general. The fact that we even have a point in time where we go, let's not hurt animals in film anymore. Again, another moment in time where I'm happy we evolve. I don't know. That's just a wild thing to me. Like, that should never be a part of storytelling, like to actually hurt animals and stuff. And I don't know. That's just a whole thing. It's a side tangent I could get lost in forever. But if you all know the difference between like where bugs fall on the scale in movie making amongst mammals and maybe feathered friends, things like that, I'm just very curious because a scorpion was actually killed in this film. And the director did say it's just the one scorpion, but still, you know, that happened in this movie. Jumping back to the film and the skinned bodies that they found, they think the gorillas did that. They think that this is the work of some baddies in the forest, just having no understanding or care for the fact that these were human beings. It kind of invigorates this, I don't know if mercenary doesn't seem like the right word, this rescue team to be like, all right, let's get in there. Let's do this. We are going to take these people out and we're going to do it with all the force we have in the world. This is also the moment when we first get introduced to predator vision. Which in itself is different than I thought, but also kind of what I expected. It's infrared vision, essentially. It's like the predator has heat signal and like can look for heat signatures. But I gotta ask this. It doesn't seem that the predator can see very good. I'm like, if this is the predator's vision, I don't think this is going to be good long term for the predator. It just seemed like a lot of blobs, heat blobs. And I mean, at the end of the day, though, he got a lot of kills in. So maybe it's me that doesn't see very well. I mean, I got contacts. I have to wear glasses. So who am I to judge the predator vision? They move through the forest unaware that predator is hanging about, watching their every move, and was probably the culprit. I think was the culprit of skinning those men and hanging them, not the gorillas. Though I guess that's never really fully answered. I think that's just an assumption I landed on. I'm like, oh, yeah. That was Predator. Predator did that to them. Maybe it was the gorillas. And the Predator was just sussing things out. But we move forward and the rescuers are going to this camp to rescue the politicians. We get a real nice ass shot of Arnold crawling on the ground. Like, there was just a long shot where he's like army crawling and it's just on his butt for like a good 30 seconds. And it's like, you can't look anywhere else besides there. But essentially, they're scoping out the camp. They kill one of the hostages. And then Arnold's just like, let's f-ing go. I don't even know how to explain this next scene besides just shock and awe. There are how many of these men in the rescue team? Not many. Maybe like 8, you know, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. They sneak into this camp that has tens and tens, maybe even 100 gorillas in it. And legitimately, they're working on a car or a truck, and it doesn't have wheels on the back. It's kind of, the motor's running. They're doing some stuff to it. Arnold casually picks up this truck and puts it on the ground before it drives through this camp and then, like, explodes. It looked like he put no effort into it. Granted, I know it's movie magic. I know that our friend Dutch, our friend Arnold Schwarzenegger, probably had some help lifting that truck. But I'm really curious if he actually lifted the truck in Predator. I don't understand the body count that must have happened at this camp. These guys came in, guns ablaze, and just took them out in a methodical but also chaotic way. I had a moment during this whole sequence. I'm like, is Predator considered horror or is it considered just sci-fi? And then I had this whole philosophical debate in my head during this action sequence of like, I guess movies are just all pieces of the puzzle. They have some sci-fi, some horror, some action. They're not just one genre. But I was actually wondering if you all consider Predator to be a horror movie or if it's more action sci-fi. I think Predator has the ability to be very horror. And I think in modern day Predator movies, it is more sci-fi horror. But this kind of felt like it was an action film with horror elements. And I have to say, during this whole action sequence when they're taking out this camp, how many stunt doubles did they light on fire? There were at least 10 men that they were like, you're getting lit today. I hope you're ready for your scene. Just, you know, the men in the bodysuits flailing around with the fire quintessential late 80s, 90s films. There was a lot of that. And how horrifying must that be to be a stunt double? And they're like, we're going to light you on fire today. But there was a lot of fire. There was a lot of gunshots. Arnold was full focus mode. They are killing so many people. In my notes, I write, what is the body count with exclamation points and question marks? And then, oh, interesting, who gets spared? A nice little lady. We got a lady. A lady entered the chat. She kind of became an interesting part. Her name was Anna. One of the gorillas, I don't know, she just happened to be at the camp. They spared her, and then she ends up coming with them. But I love that at the end of this scene, Arnold's like, all right, get the men ready to move and leave no trace when they've just absolutely destroyed this camp. Like, how do you leave no trace? There are bullet casings everywhere. You lit so much stuff on fire, and there are bodies. There's a body count you can't hide. I just thought it was very interesting that he's like, leave no trace. I'm like, you're past that point, Arnold. There is already a trace. Okay. I think my favorite quote in this film is when Blaine, who's played by Jesse Ventura, which for a minute there, I was like, Jesse Ventura? I mean, if you know who that is, I think he was a WWE wrestler for a while, but just, I know Jesse Ventura from a lot of different films growing up, but he was Blaine in this. He just looks so different with the cowboy hat. He apparently got shot or hurt somehow, and someone was like, you're bleeding. And my favorite line from the movie, I think, was, I ain't got time to bleed. And I'm like, honestly, a mood. Honestly, something that I carry through my everyday. It's just like any minor inconvenience, I can just start saying, I ain't got time to bleed. So I think that was my favorite line in the movie. But I will say, you know, amongst all the toxic masculinity, I feel like there's some lingering glances. I wrote in my notes, I don't know why. I just want some of these men to have like a torrid love affair in this hostile environment. There are so many scenes where they could just like kiss. Blaine had lots of moments like that. And then later on, I think Mac and Blaine, I think there was something more to their relationship. If I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm wanting it. Maybe I ship it. But yeah, I was just moments where I'm like, man, this is just a great time for them to just have like, for them to finally express their feelings towards each other. When this gorilla camp gets taken out, old friend Dylan, who we meet at the beginning, Dutch and Dylan go way back. Dylan works for the CIA now. Dylan tricked Dutch and his men to think this was a rescue mission when in fact it was a mission to take out this camp and stop something bad from happening. And Dutch is pissed. Like, no, this is not what I agreed to. You tricked me. But then essentially, this is where over time, we realize they got bigger things to worry about than, uh-oh, my best friend from the past may have tricked me. What have we done? This is not who I am. To, there's an alien being that's going to try to kill us all. It was an interesting plot just to kind of see things shift. And I feel like they kind of did it very seamlessly because now we're done with this gorilla camp portion, this huge action-packed moment. And we're getting bits of like the Predator. We're seeing the camera evolve, Predator vision kind of evolve, like the audio structure on the side, and then learning that the Predator can mimic. And I kind of forgot Predator can mimic. I knew that that was a thing Predator could do, but my brain forgot. I feel like it was a slow build to Predator, but it kind of worked because they put so much action in the first part of this film that I didn't get bored. I wasn't like, all right, where's Predator? Like, it wasn't just them in the forest and they're getting like, oh, what's this? That's a weird footprint. Like, it wasn't any of that. It was, we've got all this other stuff we need to do. And then it's like, uh-oh, now there's an alien that we need to deal with. And I thought that they did an interesting job at moving the story along and then switching gears to be like, you're being hunted now. I thought the Predator was creepier than I remember it being. I always called it a he. I don't know why. The Predator's always been a he to me. I don't know why most things kind of get on the pronoun of he, him, but the Predator clicks are pretty darn creepy. And I forgot about the mimicry and it was kind of exciting to kind of be like, oh, this is like a little thing that this alien creature can do. And then in my notes, it just starts to devolve into me saying things like, dude, Arnold is jacked. All these people are jacked. Like, these men are oiled up. They're slowly losing clothes over time. They're six packs out. Their giant arms are just always in full view. This is probably like the fittest group of men they could send. It's like a Gears of War campaign. Literally, they're like, all the men in Gears of War are just jacked dudes that are not found in the wild, and they all get together to fight aliens. And so is that what inspired Gears of War? Sound off in the comments. I will say the first time we see the Predator see-through, it was a little bit janky, had a little bit of that dated special effect feel. But for 1987, I'll take it. I feel like overall, it looked pretty good. I think when he first comes in to kill the first guy, because Anna runs off and one of the characters runs after, being like, don't run away. And then the Predator comes in and just takes him out pretty hardcore style. and then drags him away. So the first time we see that see-through kind of cloaking effect that the Predator does, it looked a little janky, but then as he grabs the person he killed and drags him away, I started wondering, like, how did they do that? Also, how did they get things to move in the environment? Like, they were dragging the character away. And I found out actually how they did some of this stuff, but it was interesting because, like, when the Predator's moving and is cloaked, you can see, like, the trees or, like, the bushes and the shrubbery moving about. I was like, that's pretty impressive. It made it look more interesting than just, like, he's jumping between trees and not touching anything. The Predator works quickly and makes me feel like, wow, I really hope I never encounter a Predator. A Predator that we do know is for real on Earth, but also an alien Predator. I just think that would be bad news for me. I am not skilled enough to survive a Predator in any situation. Once the group recognizes what has happened, like where their buddy's at, where did he go? They just start mowing the jungle down. They get all their guns out. They just literally unleash hell into this jungle in the direction they see this weird creature moving through. And I mean, how much ammunition did they go through for that? Cutting trees down, cutting down any living thing that could have been in there. This is also when we're introduced to the green blood that the Predator is kind of known for, the glowy green blood that Anna touches and then rubs on her pants. I'm like, don't touch green glowing blood. Like, you see glowing blood or you see a glowing substance. My instinct in the jungle is to go, nah, I'm going to just like see not what that's going to do to my hand if I put it in it. But we know at this point that probably the Predator is injured just for us as viewers. I don't know how Predator survived that mow down, but it is the Predator and it seems like the apex survivalist. So if there's anyone who will find a way, it will be Predator. And then we go to cut to a scene where he's kind of doing his own healing stuff. And he hits a button, like a kit comes out with all these like medical tools. And I'm like, I could use that. Like if they could market that, like here's a heel jacket, here's a heel suit. I would take it. At this point, I recognize he's kind of almost amphibian or like reptilian. And I don't know why I never really noticed that because I've seen the Predator face. I'm a fan of on my stream specifically making the Predator face with my two hands just going as a normal person would. But I kind of forgot like he's almost dinosaur-esque. He's got like a scaly structure. And I don't know why that detail kind of evaporated from my head, but it was neat seeing like the skin texture on the hands. And they were doing the whole thing where it's like, it's not a full creature reveal yet. You get little tidbits. You see little tidbits of Predator. I really enjoyed seeing the toolkits and his healing and just parts of the suit. I've grown to really appreciate that kind of thing in films where it's, you can see the detail in the suits, the detail in the design of creatures specifically. I went to a museum recently, went to Seattle, and there's the MoPOP, the Museum of Pop Culture. And Mark was like, let's go to that. And first I was like, I don't know, what's it gonna be like? And then we went and I was like, it was probably one of my favorite things we did in Seattle. We got to see the Xenomorph costume from the original film. They had stuff from the Blair Witch Project. They had Nemesis from the movie with Resident Evil. They had some Michael Myers stuff. It's just neat to see those things from these movies and shows and stuff that we love and get to see it up close and see like how much care and detail goes into it. And sometimes how things look better on film than they do in real life. But it's just, I have a better appreciation for that. And specifically, this Predator costume in 1987 looked phenomenal. And I was really excited to see more of the creature. They kind of left you wanting more. I loved getting to see his kind of tech, his alien tech, if you will. I looked up who played Predator, and his name was Kevin Peter Hall. He was about 7'2". And this was kind of tragic. I realized he died at a young age. He died at 35. And it was because he had the AIDS virus and he got pneumonia. Unfortunately, he died because of that. And the reason that he acquired AIDS was because he suffered a car accident and then was transfused with bloods that unfortunately was contaminated with AIDS. Apparently he had a career of doing monster kind of creatures in films. And I don't know. That was very sad to see. And I thought he did a phenomenal job playing Predator in this movie. And that was just a little side tangent, but I thought it was worth noting because it takes a lot. That costume must have been a lot to work in. And so much kudos to Kevin Peter Hall for doing that. Cutting back to the film, Blaine does die pretty horrifically by Predator at some point, and Mac is upset. And it prompted me to put, was Mac in love with Blaine? There's a whole point at night, like I think Mac's keeping watch and he's kind of like talking to the sky, like, I'm going to carve your name in him. And he's just like muttering to the sky. And I'm like, I think Mac may have been in love with Blaine. That's just my theory. I don't know. You all tell me what you think, but I feel like there was a little bit of a love there. And then when Blaine died, Mac was just feeling like, I got to get revenge for my boy. Then I also wondered where they filmed this. This movie had my brain all over the place. And allegedly, they filmed in Mexico, a lot of places in Mexico. So that's pretty cool. It's just a thought. I like to know sometimes where they film things because I'm like, this looks like a jungle. This doesn't look like they built a set in Hollywood. This looks like actual jungle environment. It looked very real at times because like they were moving through the jungle and like tripping and having trouble getting their footing. And I'm like, this doesn't feel like a movie set or anywhere in the United States. So if you're curious, they filmed all over Mexico. I had the idea that Arnold says in this movie, get to the chopper, but I didn't know if it was in fact this movie. But as we're moving through it, the word chopper came up a lot and Arnold said choppa a lot. So I was like, this has to be the movie where he says, get to the choppa. It's just interesting because they just kept talking about helicopters in this movie. I guess that's just a thing I noticed, just many helicopter talks. And I guess, you know, in this scenario, if you're trying to get away from this predator, you're going to talk about helicopters a lot. You're not going to dance around it. There's a lot of montages in this film as well, of them setting up traps. So this one night when there's a big group of these guys, they like set up some traps. Mac is shaving while they're waiting for the predator to set off some of these traps. And then he like breaks the razor on his face. And my main concern is like, why is he shaving right now? This is not the time to shave. He also cut his face. And how, you know how much pressure you need to be putting on a razor to break it? I think I'm just mostly concerned for Mac throughout this whole film. He just lost Blaine, who may or may not have been the love of his life. And I just feel bad for Mac. And also now he's just giving himself cuts on the face. I think this movie did a good job showing that toxic masculinity at the beginning of just like, yeah, nothing can faze us. We're unstoppable. We're unbreakable. Come on, bros. Let's go. They slowly almost devolve into madness as they're up against this predator who is a match for them. Maybe even a little bit better, like against things that they're unfamiliar with. And I don't know if that was supposed to be commentary in some ways of just like their hubris caught up with them. It's a humbling experience. But I kind of enjoyed how they pointed out that they're slowly losing it. And it wasn't just an immediate descent into madness or revenge, though Mac kind of teetered on that. I do feel like it may have been a commentary on like, you know, you can go on being the most confident dude on the block, but sometimes you just got to recognize that you're not going to always be the biggest dude on the block. And I think in a way it showed that these men were breakable. And I think it showed that that's how their fear manifested. This movie felt like a really good background noise movie. Like if you were like skimming through the channels and you're like, oh, Predator's on. It's like a good movie to have on in the background. It just had that vibe where it just feels like it's supposed to be on while you're cooking dinner or cleaning the house. You're still participating in it when you walk by. It just has a good background movie feel. I did feel like I enjoyed watching this movie. I guess, spoiler alert, we're not quite done with my review, but it's just a movie that it's like one of those TNT TBS movies. You're like, oh, Predator's on? I'm going to leave it on. I like when the Predator is not camouflaged, but I know that's probably why they did it this way. So they left me wanting more. I'm like, I just want to see Predator not camouflaged because it looked a little goofy at times. During the sequence, like the Predator is just outsmarting all of them and their traps. And this is where Arnold says, hey, get to the chopper. But like, he was rolling around on the ground while he said that. And I was like, that's not how I expected him to deliver the line for how famous it is. He did say it. But you know, in your head, when you've built up like this line is so infamous, people say it. I've said it throughout my life without any context, except that's what Arnold says. I didn't expect him to be on the ground rolling around as he said it, but I respect it. He was telling people to get to the chopper. Once again, I put in my notes, all these dudes are super ripped. And I love how all their clothes have slightly come off more and more, and their six packs are just on display at the end. I did have a legitimate question. Was somebody spraying them down with oil and water? Because they were all looking like they were ready for a bodybuilding competition. And I just love how they're like, we're going to fight the predator. Let's get our six packs out. It was interesting because it just feels like, you know, 80s movies like Top Gun and Predator. It's like, yeah, it's a man's movie. And they're just like Greek gods on display. And I don't know. Maybe it's to appeal to all audiences. But I'm just saying, like, I noticed. Okay, I noticed it. This is where the men like fully go into fight or flight mode. And most of them are going into fight mode. I was like, oh, the Predator is finally using the Mimic. It's when Dylan, they kind of like split up in a way to fight this thing. And Dylan's kind of by himself looking for Mac. And I was like, oh my gosh, the Predator's using the Mimic, because I thought he had already gotten Mac. But the movie duped me and it was actually Mac. And I was like, very nice movie. I thought you had tricked me. This is also where I noticed Mac is slowly descending into madness. Dylan and Mac are kind of like, we see him. Let's get him. Like, they see the Predator in the tree. But this is also the moment where the Predator just absolutely wrecked Mac's head. There's no other way to put it. The camera is behind Mac's head, and let's just say it explodes. The Predator, like, you think for a second, oh, maybe they're going to get the Predator. No, Predator's always one step ahead, and Mac's head just completely explodes. Dylan doesn't know this quite yet. The Predator starts using Mac's voice as a mimic, and I was like, yeah, they're finally doing it. And then Dylan sees it, and I just feel like the movie has such an interesting relationship between all these men and the Predator, because sometimes the Predator's just like, yo, I'm right here. You can see me. The Predator kind of flashes his eyes that green color whenever he knows someone sees him. And I'm like, that's such a power move. Like, that's such a like, yo, what's up? Dylan sees him. He flashes his green eyes and then literally blows Dylan's arm off. Dylan's shooting at the Predator, blows off Dylan's arm. The gun is still shooting on the ground as his arm is detached from his body. And let me tell you, my mouth is agape while I'm watching this. And I say out loud, oh, holy crap. Just alone in my living room. And I will say the Predator kills are pretty epic. The Predator kills are not for the faint of heart. I did not expect an arm to come off. Dylan, I don't know. I just didn't expect that. And then the gun's on the ground just shooting. And then we get to the end where there's like trying to get to the chopper. Billy is crossing. Billy's another character that I haven't talked about too much, but they're crossing this log and he just takes a moment. He stops and he takes all like his jacket off and all these things. And he just has this determined look of like, I'm going to go fight this thing. And I just love how the Predator kind of gets in their heads, almost gets a hold on these people in a way of like, I'm going to be the one to take it down. It's almost like a pride thing at this point where they're like, no, nothing can out tough me. So Billy takes all his clothes off and then, dies. We don't really see Billy's death. Billy dies off screen, but you know, Billy's not alive. You just know Billy's not alive anymore. It's almost as if the Predator has like a pheromone or something that's like slowly making these people more unhinged. The Predator's kind of an asshole. Like, I don't think he has any reason to be doing this. Like, he's not here like, I need resources for my planet. You guys are getting in my way and trying to kill me. He's just there to be like, I'm just gonna fuck some up. He's kind of a jerk. I respect it, but also like, he's just kind of not, he doesn't have a good reason. Maybe you don't have to have a good reason if you are an alien from another planet and you just want, oh my gosh, is this like, you know how people here go hunting and they go hunt deer or ducks. This is like the Predator. They're like, hey, I'm going to Earth this weekend. Yeah, I'm going to go hunting. It's like literally that. That's so messed up, but also like not too far-fetched. I mean, when eventually will the aliens start doing that? They're going to be like, that planet is overpopulated. So get your hunting license for Earth and we'll let you guys go down and just make sure you don't leave a trace. But yes, hunting season's open. I mean, it doesn't seem too far-fetched. We get to the point eventually where it's just Arnold versus the Predator and Arnold's being chased. There is a shot where Arnold Dutch is falling from the height, like kind of running through the forest, and then it's just open and just a drop off into this body of water. I literally said, oh my God, that shot was cool with this reveal of him like going over the cliff, because they kind of shot it first person before cutting to like the side shot if we see him falling into the waterfall. And then it's just like he's getting battered by this water. He's going down a waterfall. He's going through rapids. He finally gets to shore, but he's gotten quite a distance from where he landed in this water and moved down. And so Dutch is on the shore, if you will, of this body of water. And he's just like trying to catch his breath. And there's a moment where they have a Predator drop into the water behind him. But it's just like that cloaked version of the Predator. Gotta say, that was a chef's kiss shot. Because you're like, oh, he's finally getting a respite. And then you just see the body of water move like someone dropping into it. And then like someone swimming, but nobody's there. This is also where he gets out of the water. And I wrote, okay, but is the Predator kind of hot? Sound off. Do we all think the Predator's a little bit hot? I don't know what that says about me. That's another thing you can comment on. There's just lots of montages in this movie where they're working through like setting up traps or trying to outsmart each other. So this is a moment where the Predator's kind of like working on his rituals, if you will, and then Dutch is kind of setting up stuff. After he falls through the water, this is where we also realize that if he's covered in mud, the Predator can't see him. It doesn't work on, Predator vision doesn't show the heat signatures when the mud is on Dutch's body. So Dutch is like, I got the upper hand. And there's a scene where Dutch is wiping mud on his face. And it's kind of wild because that was one of those scenes where I feel like it's been replicated in movies. And it's kind of ironic that, or iconic, not ironic. And I never realized that that was an influential scene from Predator. And this is also the moment where I realized, I never realized how big of a movie Predator was until that scene specifically. And I feel a little silly about that. I think also kind of diving back to the thought process on, oh, are they just kind of like, it's open season on Earth. The mimicking thing is an interesting choice because it's like hunters do when they have duck and deer calls and things like that. So I'm like, oh my God, the Predator's doing that, but just with human voice. Like, it's like he's getting those duck whistles out, but it's saying things like, hello, it's me, your best friend, instead of like a duck call. I feel like those little details make this movie a little bit better. And it's like, he's literally a hunter. He's just like a bad boy alien hunter. And he's also learning, I think, from these specific fighters. He doesn't attack people unless they have a weapon. And I think there's no sport for him. So he doesn't hunt people who don't fight or don't seem like they're trying to defend themselves. So like, he didn't kill Anna at one point because she didn't have a weapon. She wasn't trying to fight back, kind of thing. So the Predator specifically targets people who are maybe a threat to it. And I think that that was an interesting thing as well, because he enjoys the sport. He likes doing the thing. He gets a little thrill out of it, if you will. He's not just killing willy-nilly. He wants to have a little bit of sport in it. But I feel like the Predator learned from them, because there's a moment where like he knows he's kind of being attacked after Dutch goes through all these this rigmarole to set up traps and try to like outsmart the Predator at night. The Predator knows he can't see Dutch or see whatever's trying to attack him. So he has a moment where he's just like up high and he's just like launching rockets or whatever type of artillery he has into the forest random, just kind of like they did at the beginning of the film to mirror what this rescue team did to try to just mow down the Predator in the film. And I just thought that was interesting. I'm like, I don't know if that was a callback, but it felt like, is the Predator learning some tips and tricks from the rescuers? I don't know. And I guess if the Predator ever does arrive, we all know at the very least, we should just rub mud all over ourselves. So maybe just always have like a stash of clay or mud in your garage. And then in the case of alien predators arriving, just slap some mud on you and you should be okay for at least a little bit. Since I already know what the Predator looks like, we get to the end of the film where we get the face reveal, right? It's a Predator face reveal. Let's go. It's like a YouTuber. I feel like some movies you get that reveal of a monster or a creature and you're like, oh, that's not great. I already knew what the Predator looked like, so I didn't feel like I was disappointed. It just made me more curious as to why so many movies have disappointing monster reveals. And I'm like, was just the Predator so good that it wasn't disappointing and that the other monsters we see in films are disappointing? It just made me think about like what makes a character or a monster reveal disappointing in films. Is it because we build things up? With me going in knowing what Predator looked like, did that help me have expectations that were like, yeah, let's see? I was excited to see the final reveal. I knew it was coming. You know, Predator is just finally catches up with Dutch and legitimately is like, all right, my dude. He has this part where he's like unpopping some little tubes and little air things are coming out. He takes his helmet off and he throws it on the ground. And legitimately, I was like, holy crap. This is like such an epic monster reveal. You know, Predator takes his mask off and you're like, hell yeah, that thing's really weird looking. It wasn't disappointing. And, you know, he's got that amphibian face. He's got that long tubular hair. Just he screams and he opens his mouth into those like little pronged and I don't know, snake mouth. You can't explain Predator. Just look him up if you haven't seen what Predator looks like. It wasn't disappointing. And I kind of like this face off between Arnold or Dutch and the Predator. And essentially, it's just kind of like them going at it for a bit before eventually one of the traps that Dutch sets up crushes Predator. But Predator has essentially, for lack of a better word, the last laugh, literally. He has like that little bomb thing on his arm. So he's like, boop, boop, boop. This tree pretty much falls on the Predator. I don't know. This Predator is one strong mofo. Pushes the thing off after Dutch thinks, I got him. I finally got him. And then it's just setting a bomb on his arm. Dutch realizes that looks like a countdown. I got to get out of here. There's a great callback because the Predator starts doing a mimic laugh. It was so creepy. And I was like, what a good callback and what a good way to like end this film. Because earlier in the film, the Predator learned how to laugh from one of his comrades, from one of Dutch's comrades. And so the Predator sets this bomb and just starts creepy laughing. Dutch is like booking it through the forest, just like, gotta get out of here before an explosion happens, which makes sense. The Predator probably doesn't want to leave anything behind. Like, I mean, how do you explain that? The government would definitely have to intervene to keep the public, you know, from freaking out. Dutch gets away. He's on a chopper. Dutch is a shell of a human, and that's essentially how the film ends. Like, he's in the chopper staring off into the distance, and I'm like, that man will never be the same. He's going to need some therapy. And that is Predator. I don't know. That's the film. It's wrapped up in a nice little alien creature bow. And now as I'm talking about it, I think I'm realizing I like this movie a lot more than the rating I originally gave it. Oh man, should I do it? I don't know. I'm going to up it. My original rating was 7. Okay. I'll tell you that right now. But I just changed it because as I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh, I think I really liked this movie. This is another movie this season that I actually liked the film I watched. Is this a turning point and Katie hasn't seen that? I don't understand. Usually I hate everything. What does this mean? There's gonna be a movie this season where I'm definitely going to be like, what the, why? So I'm not disappointed you all made me watch this one. I liked this one. Thank you for making me watch Predator. This one. All right, let's do my rating. Let me stop stalling. This movie is an 8.5 out of 10. Hot single predators in your area. I really like this movie. I think I have an affinity for the alien universe. I have an affinity for the Predator universe. I think it was already built into this. I gotta say, this movie held up. I thought it was pretty good. What do you all think of Predator? Do you like it? Do you like some of the sequels? Do you like the AVP crossover? What are your thoughts on the Predator movie franchise, as well as the original, the one from 1987 with Arnold? Let me know. Okay, last but not least, two more things. Obviously, your comments after this, but let's dive into trivia. I picked a couple things. One of the things I actually looked up and I didn't actually write down, but I wanted to know how they made the blood in the film. And apparently, so the Predator blood, not actual like human blood. You know, that's pretty common knowledge in film. They use fake blood techniques. But for Predator fake blood, what was that made out of? It was KY petroleum jelly and glow sticks. And essentially they said because the glow in the glow stick goes away pretty quickly, they had to mix it fresh on set for the scenes. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. I was sitting there like, how do they make the blood glow? Glow sticks and KY petroleum jelly. So if you want to make your own Predator blood, now you know how. Okay, more trivia. The invisibility cloaking effect was achieved with a bright red suit the size of the Predator. It was different than being green like the jungle and blue like the sky. The red was removed with chroma techniques, leaving an empty area. The take was then repeated without the actor using a 30% wider lens on the camera. And then when the two takes were combined optically, the jungle from the second take filled in the empty area. Because the second take was filled with a wider lens, a vague outline of the alien could be seen with the background scenery bending around its shape. And that's pretty cool. I wanted to know how they did that. I found that on IMDb and I wanted to share it with you all. Another trivia point. Dutch's line, "Get to the choppa," is Arnold Schwarzenegger's personal favorite catchphrase of all of the films he has appeared in. And notably, I think it's a pretty famous one. It's a pretty big quote. There is a helicopter pilot scene at the end of the film, and that is Kevin Peter Hall, who played the Predator, the person I had talked about earlier. The director gave him a brief on-screen role because the work as Predator was so exhausting. I can't imagine being in that suit. I can't imagine doing that, especially in the, what I'm assuming, hot jungle heat in Mexico. And last but not least, the facial appearance of the Predator was inspired by the wrinkle-faced bat. And now I want to look up the wrinkled face bat after this and see what it looks like and compare it to what Predator's face looks like. Okay, let me know what you think of the film. And up next is comments from all of you. Before I dive in, I've noticed on the last few episodes of Katie Hasn't Seen That, I get some comments that are like, hey, this isn't a reaction video. You're not watching the film. And I just want to do a gentle reminder that this is a podcast. This is not a video reaction. This is just a recording of me recording my podcast. Also, there's a bunch of copyright issues in doing those kinds of videos. And so there's a whole thing, but I don't know why people get the impression that these are reaction videos to the movies. It's my podcast and it says in the title that it's my podcast. So I just wanted to put that out there so people would maybe remember that this is not a video reaction podcast. So let's jump back in to comments from all of you. And I wanted to show off this amazing Katie Hasn't Seen That season 3 bingo card that Tchaikovsky made, and it's in Discord. It is pinned in the Katie Hasn't Seen That channel. So if you want to play along, if you want to, you know, see if I refer to my notes, if I say the episodes of, or, well, I guess the episodes of Banger is the free space, but you can actually like do a little Katie Hasn't Seen That season 3 bingo with each episode. So huge shout out to Chai for making this. I wanted to share it with all of you. Go into Discord to download it for yourself to play along. And yeah, I just thought that was a really fun thing. So let's get into some comments. Up first, we have one from Twitter. Ranger Ramp 77 says, my freshman high school biology teacher looked just like Bernie. It was hard not to think of him during class, LOL. And that is amazing. And these are comments in reference to the last episode of Katie Hasn't Seen That, where I watched Weekend at Bernie's, which I think is a cult classic, but it wasn't as, I guess, in the universe as I thought. So it was very interesting. A lot of you said you hadn't seen this movie either. So I don't know, get on it. I think this one was kind of fun. The next comment is from Gothic Mess on YouTube, who shared, I expected this movie to be stupid, and it was, but I laughed. 10 out of 10 review, LOL. I haven't seen this one, but I somehow got it in my head that Bernie was their uncle and died right before a big weekend party at his house. His two nephews didn't want his death to get in the way of a good time, so they put the whole farce on to make it seem like he was still alive. I have no idea where I got that impression from. Maybe an overactive imagination after seeing the movie cover during trips to Blockbuster. Honestly, I can't blame you, though, because for real, it's kind of like that. It's just like the movie, but in a different font. So you're not too far off, but I actually did enjoy Weekend at Bernie's. So I don't know. It's been interesting because I could see the cover of this movie kind of giving the impression it could be many things. So it's not too far off. And I don't know if you've watched it, Gothic, but I think it's a fun time and I'd be really curious if you liked it. Up next, we have another YouTube comment from Rod Johnston 69, who said, when love is in the air, you put some blinders on, speak the truth, friend. And boy, oh boy, in Weekend at Bernie's, that is very much the truth. Another comment from YouTube is from OG Ghetto, who said, very physical, silly comedy. Wow. 8 out of 10? I'm surprised. I mean, it's a really ridiculous kind of comedy, but it's lighthearted and silly. I think I'm more on the Mark side of the equation. It's just kind of pointless and ridiculous, but it has an audience. And apparently that audience is KPP, LOL. As for Weekend at Bernie's 2, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. That makes sense to me. So I'll keep that in mind. Maybe if I ever come across Weekend at Bernie's 2, I'll watch it. But I think I'll put it on the shelf for the time being and just keep that in mind. And last but not least, from another YouTube comment, 20 Chicken says, one, I'm glad somebody else doesn't find National Lampoon's Holiday to be funny, Katie. Yes, I'm not alone. Two, the acting was very jiggly. Three, laughing out loud at the absolute absurdity of it sums up Weekend at Bernie's to me. I kind of liked it as well, Katie. 8 out of 10 seems about right in terms of making you LOL. And What We Do in the Shadows. So feckin' funny and ridiculous. Can't believe the next series is also the last series. I agree. I'm a huge What We Do in the Shadows fan. I'm so sad the next season's the last season, but I'm also a huge proponent of ending a show before it gets bad. So thank you to everybody for your comments. I can't wait to see what y'all think of Predator. I'm biting my nails. Like, I'm getting this episode ready and I'm like, yes, I can't wait for people to hear this one. So let me know what you think about Predator to see if you'll be featured in the next after show comments. All right, catch y'all on the next one. If you want to hang out with me more, or if you just want to yell at me for my thoughts on a specific movie, I stream over on Twitch at www.twitch.tv/KatiePetersPlays. If you'd like to support the podcast and buy me a coffee to fuel my reviews, you can over on Ko-fi at www.ko-fi.com/KatiePetersPlays. You can join my Discord to discuss the movies I review with other Katie Hasn't Seen That fans by visiting discordapp.com/invite/KatiePetersPlays.
If you enjoy Katie Hasn't Seen That, please leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps others find the show. Also, feel free to follow and chat with me on Twitter at PlayKatiePlay and on Instagram and YouTube at KatiePetersPlays. Music written and performed by Mark Can Do It. Katie Hasn't Seen That is a part of the Geek Generation Network.